welcome to Founder's Journey. I am your host, Josh Pinkford, founder of Baremetrics. And this week, we're going to be talking about remote hiring, and specifically the interview part of the remote hiring process. So you've plastered your job listing on every job board and social network known to man. Now comes the fun part, which is sifting through the hundreds or even thousands of applications. But how? How do you narrow down a seemingly endless stream of folks who all want to be a part of your team? So Baremetrics is a remote company. We have no main office. We all work from a mixture of coffee shops and home offices. We use services like Earth Class Mail to scan, process, and store all of our incoming mail. And most of us only actually meet in person at our company retreats. And with a remote-only company like Baremetrics, when it comes to hiring, the bulk of the work comes in the interview stage. So most earlier stage startups don't have an HR department, and that hiring part usually falls largely on the CEO's back. So hiring someone is many times the primary and full-time job of a CEO, and so efficiently narrowing down who's a good fit is the name of the game. Now, remote-only companies face a unique set of challenges when it comes to hiring. So in general, we have a much larger pool to hire from, but that's not always a good thing. The I want to work from home crowd is substantial and arguably is made up of people who have, in fact, never worked from home. So what you end up with are hundreds upon hundreds of applications from people who aren't qualified at all, but think they are because they saw the word remote in the job listing. But even once you've got it narrowed down to people who are qualified, figuring out if they're actually a good fit is quite difficult. All you've usually got to go on are a series of emails and a couple of phone calls or video chats. So how do you overcome those challenges? What are processes, tools, and questions that can be used to streamline and make the process as painless as possible for both sides? The hiring process for remote companies is a human psychology obstacle course on overdrive. It's not about skill or ability so much as it is about understanding how both sides approach problem solving. And the faster you understand how someone approaches problem solving, the faster that you can make a decision. So let's talk through a few steps or phases of hiring or specifically of interviewing someone. So, the first obstacle is the job listing. So it's your responsibility to set the tone here. Yes, lots of people will skip over the contents of the job listing completely and just read the position name and then look for the apply button. But the goal here is to help the person set proper expectations for themselves about what the job entails, what they'll be responsible for, and then why they'd be a crucial part of your team. You're trying to balance selling people on the fact that this is an amazing opportunity with also weeding out all the people who are just looking for a paycheck and nothing more. So the more detail you can give, especially around compensation and benefits, the better, but avoid being dry and clinical about it. If you read your job listing and you're like, yeah, the HR department that we don't even have wrote this, you probably are off target here. Drive home that it is a great opportunity and that your team genuinely needs someone in that role. Properly setting the tone at this stage will make the interview process a whole lot easier. Now, next up, application questions. The last thing you want are 1,000 resumes in your inbox. The resume is, for all intents and purposes, completely useless and should be ignored forever and ever. Amen. Let's burn them all. At the same time, you need some sort of measuring stick to quickly narrow down if someone will be a good fit or not. So what we do is include a handful of what I would call filter questions. These are questions that don't require much work on the applicant's part, but give you a quick mechanism for moving someone on to the next stage or not. So the questions you use will vary slightly depending on the job, but here are some questions that we use that usually can be used across multiple positions, but we happen to use some of these are for a design position that we were hiring for. So some of these are design related, but this idea applies still. So first, what is your work experience? I don't actually care where they've worked. I just want to see that they do, in fact, have some experience. So for engineering positions, you'll get a lot of applicants whose only experience is some 4-week Rails boot camp. And that's just not our bag right now. Every position has some sort of quick indicator that the person simply doesn't or does have the relevant experience that you're after. Next up, what city and country are you located in? So for a remote company, we can hire from basically anywhere, but there are locations that may make it more difficult. So a 12-hour time difference is a big hurdle that, unless there's some amazing benefits, probably won't work out for us. Link to your portfolio or Dribbble profile. So you'd be amazed at the number of people who don't have a portfolio or any sort of prior work to link to. So this question actually applies for a lot of positions. I mean, engineering, you know, let me see some of your GitHub profile, for instance, or customer support. Like, maybe you've written about customer support before. Like, that's a way to get some good insight there. Include links to two specific examples of how you've used design to solve complex problems, along with how you solve those problems. So this question actually has three purposes. One is following direction. People love to just throw a single link to their portfolio here and call it a day. I didn't ask for all of your work here. I asked for specific examples. Two, it shows proof that you can, in fact, solve complex design problems. And three, it gives me a look into how you communicate, which is critical in a remote environment. Same thing here with an engineering position, like seeing some specific code examples and why it solved the problem. This works also for like a content position, like let me see two of your best articles, that kind of thing. Next up, why do you want to work at Baremetrics? And I hate asking this question only because I know I'd hate answering it. But holy moly, is this a great one for filtering out folks. We double our MRR if we get a recurring nickel for every time someone just answered, because I need a job. That's a terrible answer. How would you make Baremetrics as a product better? So this is important for finding good problem solvers. I don't actually think someone will be able to effectively figure out how to make Baremetrics better without having really used the product. I just want to know how they approach problem solving. Now, again, these questions will vary slightly depending on the job. The key here is to give you a set of answers that you can use to quickly filter out people that don't fit with what you're looking for right now. So you can focus on those who could be a good fit. Now, the next step, step three, are the follow-up questions. So from the initial filter questions, one of two things will happen. If it won't work out, then I send a stock email thanking them for their time and encouraging them to check back in the future. Something like, hey, Sally, thanks for your application to Baremetrics. We don't think there's a great fit at this very moment, but I encourage you to keep an eye on the jobs page on Baremetrics and also keep us up to date and consider reapplying as your skills grow and expand. Thanks so much. So now if I do think there may be a good fit, I send a follow-up set of questions. These are a mix of questions around working remotely as well as questions specific to the position itself. It requires a bit more work on both ends, but this gives me significant insight into how they communicate via text, which is unbelievably crucial in a remote setting. It's also additional insight into, again, their problem-solving process. Here are those follow-up questions that we use in the design position as the example, but again, a lot of these can be reused across lots of different positions. So one, tell me more about your current job. Are you happy there? So I want to know, what's their motivation for applying? Is it because they're not happy? Why aren't they happy at their current job? Or are they happy and they're looking for a change of pace? Or some other, again, motivation. I want to know why they're looking at this job. Two, what kind of projects are you working on there? So will this new role be a big change for them, or will they be able to jump in without hesitation? If you could be anything but a designer, what would you be? So this is about identifying healthy work habits. Do they have any hobbies? What other things do they think about besides their job? Sometimes this question is, what hobbies do you have, or what do you like to do besides, you know, engineering or whatever it is. Number four, why a startup over an established company? So this helps me understand their expectations. Sometimes people think, like, I want big piles of equity that'll be worth hundreds of millions of dollars one day, and that's not healthy. Five, have you ever been self-employed? So running your own business, even if it's just like the solo freelancer, is a big bonus, as you're much more likely to jump in and do the work and help out, even if something is technically outside of the job description. The expectations coming in is like, yes, I'll have to wear a lot of different hats. And that's a big pro. Six, have you ever worked from home, a coffee shop, a co-working space, something like that? Hiring people that have not worked remotely in some sort of capacity is an uphill battle that can present lots of issues. Ideally, we want to hire people who have some sort of system or systems in place so they don't get burned out. I would say more often than not, people who have not worked remotely have a pretty hard time the very first time they do it. And we're not always in a position to want to like be the person that helps them learn how to work remotely. Sometimes it's fine. Depends on the position. Seven, what's your typical approach when presented with a feature that needs to be designed? So this is yet another identifier of problem solving ability. I also at this point always ask if there are specific questions that they have about Bare Metrics or the job, and we'll usually exchange a couple of emails about that, answering their questions. Next step, step four, is a video chat. So assuming all the previous answers checked out fine, it's time for a video chat. So this video chat step is a mix of figuring out if they're decent at making themselves available for a quick chat, which is especially important if there's a major time zone difference, along with just making sure they are who they say they are. So we use video chat a lot within the team, and being able to clearly communicate in English is part of the deal. So doing a 5 to 10 minute chat verifies that and also gives an opportunity to get to know that person more. And step five, so this last step, is our test projects. So one of the hardest parts of hiring, at least for me, has been this idea that someone is potentially quitting another job to come work for us. So that's a lot of weight and responsibility, as it should be. So having a strong idea, as strong of an idea as possible, of what it's like to work with someone is a big deal. Just about every job lends itself towards some type of test project. So doing the test project isn't necessarily about getting some sort of usable deliverable. I'm not sure if we've ever used a test project for anything. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. So it's about figuring out if they can hit deadlines they set, if they're actually able to do the caliber of work that they've shown before, and if they respond well to criticism, which a lot of times, especially in creative positions, people don't respond well to criticism or pushback. And so a lot of times they get offended or really protective of their work, and it's hard to work with people like that. So, also, it's perfect insight into how they, you know, problem solve. So it's worth noting that we've gone back and forth between doing paid test projects. I haven't really seen a difference one way or the other with the willingness to do the work or the quality of the work or anything like that. At the moment, we don't do paid test projects, but that could change. Usually we try to keep the project limited to a few hours of work, and generally something they could knock out on a weekend or over a couple of evenings. Now, after the interview, so after the test project and all these other steps, I've got everything that I need to make the decision on that person. And it's usually at this point that we'll get really specific with the salary and equity, as I'll have a much better idea of their abilities and what they'll be able to bring to the table. So if all goes well, we'll add the person to the team. If not, we'll head back to the drawing board and keep repeating the process. Every company is different, and what criteria works for one company won't necessarily work for another. As the founder or whoever is heading up the hiring, efficiency, as I mentioned before, is the name of the game, unless you want to spend a whole year processing job applications, which you don't. Identify ways to quickly narrow things down, and the more you do it, the more comfortable you'll get with finding good markers for who would and wouldn't be a good fit for your company. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening. If you like it or if you hate it, head to iTunes and give us a rating. If you have any feedback on this, I'd love to hear it. Shoot me an email, josh@baremetrics.com, or hit me up on Twitter @Shpigford. That's S-H-P-I-G-F-O-R-D. What else? What other random things can I tell you to do? Oh, if you need subscription insights and analytics, Baremetrics is your dog. It's your bro. It's your brosif, your person, man, thing, whatever. Okay, seriously, that's the end of this. And thanks for listening. And I love you. Goodbye.